bad reality show, Manic Monday, with Michelle Costa.
Me!
With Michelle Costa.
I'm right
and
here.
Rad Ron. Now, you guys can call in, too, and talk to us about any subject. 347-237-5506. Make sure you push the 1, because I'm not going to pick up unless you push the 1. So you guys want to call in.
Hi out there, everyone. This is Cherry Garcia, and I'd like to thank you all for joining us tonight on this January 30th, 2012. This is the Rad Reality Show, and co-hosting with me tonight is your friend and mine, Mr. Paul from Minnesota. How are you doing tonight, Paul?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing good. Very good, as a matter of fact. It's going to be a great show. We also have the host of our show, the one that makes Manic Mondays possible, Ms. Michelle Costa. How are you doing, Michelle?
Hey, Cherry and Paul. Hey, everybody that's listening in the chat room. Happy Manic Mondays. It's going to be such a great show. Epic.
I got you a new opener there, Michelle.
I love it. You know, and today, I mean, every show is always special, but I know that Ron is, like, probably so excited right now because he loves Jesse. So
yeah.
I absolutely loved the Jesse, like, you know, that he's on. And he's going to let us know about what he's doing, which is just amazing. And I'm just so glad to be talking about Mob Wives, too. You
I
DJ
know.
Flip-flop.
I know.
And we'll be talking about a whole lot of that. So, but, yeah, so how was you guys' week? Like, what's going on with your guys' life?
It's been a fairly average week, except for having a little
Bullshit.
Allergy. I hate having allergies late in life, you know. I never had an allergy to anything in my life until just the last few years, and now I'm developing allergies, and it sucks.
Yeah, they say that as you get older, you actually acquire allergies. I've noticed that I've never had allergies before, but I've noticed that people have told me, I think you have allergies. I'm like, oh, I think so, too. Yeah, they're not fun. No fun. No bueno.
It really sucks. I just don't like it at all.
How was your week, Paul?
It was pretty good. Nothing. Well, our Minnesota Timberwolves, after about 8 years of just horribleness, are finally exciting to watch, and our last game was against the Lakers here in Minneapolis, and it looked like for a while we might be able to beat them. We came back from an 18-point deficit to go up, but ended up losing at the end. So that was my most recent memory, at least.
Did
have
you watch
to,
the All-Stars game
to,
yesterday, Paul?
Oh, was it yesterday?
Yes. Oh, it was
yeah.
So much fun.
Yeah.
I love the All-Stars.
Yeah, it was a good
game. Yeah, I did not.
Well, speaking of sports, you know, I've been on this roller coaster of the road to the Super Bowl over here in New England. It's been crazy here. You know, everybody's really excited, and it just like, oh my God, I cannot wait till Sunday Super Bowl rematch of 2008. It's going to be a good one. I'll tell you what. It's one of those things that, you know, yeah, I'd like to go against a team that you have a bowl, but is that really a Super Bowl? A Super Bowl is supposed to be two teams that are going to play hardcore, and it's going to be a tight game. That's what I think. And you know what I say for the outcome, but I don't know. Well, you guys, let us know in the chat room who you guys are rooting for. Are you rooting for the New York Giants? And don't be acting like no camel named Princess from New Jersey. I know what their little scam is over there, and they called it My Princess. Or are you going to be rooting for the New England Patriots? Can I get a hell yeah? Let's see what you guys say in the chat room. But anyway, Paul, what else did you have to say?
I think he was in the screening room. But I think Chi-Town Joe sent me a new Patriots fight song. Is that true? They have a new fight song?
I don't know.
For the Patriots? He said the Patriots have a new fight song, and we're going to have that ready for you by next week for Manic Monday.
Oh, my gosh. Wait a minute. Well, it's going to be a 50-50. But you know what? You get that ready, and you put it on number one, because I want to hear that first, right after we hear Ron.
we will have it ready for you for next Manic Monday.
Yes, next Manic Monday is going to be a very interesting one. So make sure, I'm giving you a heads up, stock up on a lot of wine, because it could go either way. It's going to either be good or bad or ugly in this chat room, this Manic Mondays, because we have a lot of fans that are on both sides in that chat room. So, I don't know if my little heart can take it. But you know what? They're calling Tom the snake. You know what? They called me and Jesse the two-headed snake, and they needed to take the snakes out. So you know what? They're going to protect the snake, Tom Brady, and he's going to slither away.
He must be a nice guy then if they're calling him the same thing they called you and Jesse, because I've had the pleasure of meeting both you and Jesse, and you are both absolutely two of the sweetest people I've ever met. So if they're calling him the same thing they called you and Jesse, then he must be a hell of a guy.
Yeah, well, I'll say right now, I'm going to put it out there, okay? Jesse will be talking probably junk to me because he despises the Patriots. That's one little tiff that we had in the house. We would always argue about the Patriots, and I would like, so what's your team? You don't even have a team. He goes, well, you guys share a team within state. So I was like, well, all of our states put together isn't even bigger than yours, and we would just go at it. So, so I have a feeling that Mr. Jesse will make a remark. So if that's the case, I want a dollar for every, no, I'm just kidding. But, I'm gonna talk a little story quick before Jesse comes on. He'll be coming on in like a few minutes. But I want to tell everybody about my week. Cherry, Paul, everybody, do you guys want to hear about my week?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, hold on to your seats. Let me take a sip of wine for this one, because this is a doozy. So hold on. I'm going to sip right now. Anyway.
That was a gulp.
That was a good one. That was a good. I'm a chipmunk or a squirrel. I'm saving some on the side in case I need emergency wine. But so you guys know, I worked a lot this week. I did not stop from Tuesday till Sunday, working 10-hour days. Conference calls. I had meetings. I had 13-hour meetings on Tuesday. I had like 8-hour meetings on Wednesday, and I went right into work in a 40-hour week, and it was crazy. It was roller coaster. Well, Saturday, I leave work. You guys know I'm doing that road show, so I was located at a BJ's, and I was doing a road show there. So I'm there for about 11 hours, give or take, you know, because I go in early, I leave a little bit later. And I start walking to my car in the parking lot, which this will answer all the questions of why was I in the police station today. And I do appreciate everybody's comments on wanting me to get, you know, getting me bail money, telling me to plead the fifth. You know, there's a lot of people out there that had my back. So, but so I came out to my car, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, my God. I think somebody hit the side of my car. And I go walking closer, and you could see, like, handprints on it where somebody was, like, wiping it. You know, like they were like, oh, my God, wiping their paint off of it or something. And I'm starting looking closer, and I'm just like, did somebody hit my new car that I just got? And I'm like, I rub it, and I'm like, oh, my God, there's a dent. And I turn around. And I'm like, no, I didn't just see that. And I turn back around, and I look at my car, and I rub it again. And I'm like, oh, my God. I actually, like, rubbed the hood, like, you poor baby. Like, oh, my God. So So I walk back into the BJ's, and I'm like, okay. So somebody hit my car, and they're like, well, we have video cameras, but the person who sees the video cameras is not here today. They'll be in tomorrow, and I had to work my last shift. So I come in on Sunday, and I speak to the girl. And so she was like, yeah, I'll take me all your information, where was your car, blah, 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 whatever, go do a police report the next day. So I, this morning, go to pick up my dad because I want my dad to go with me to the police station just, you know, to make sure everything's copacetic and everything. And, like, my dad goes to walk to open my door for my car, and my passenger side door won't open. It's like, you know, like opening a little bit, but it won't open. And my dad's like, I can't open the door. I'm like, what? So I go around the car, and I try to open the door, and I can't open it. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, did the dent, like, go so far in? Because it was, like, literally right near the passenger door that it didn't allow the door to open. So I start walking around my car, and I look, and I'm like, what the hell is that? My grill of my car is actually shoved into my car. I have marks all over my bumper that really kind of weren't visible in the nighttime. And I have these, like, marks that look like the license plate screws on my car. And I'm like, what the hell is that? I thought someone stole, like, a piece of molding, not realizing that my grill was actually shoved into my bumper. And I'm like, what? So my dad had to sit in the back seat, which, like, I made a joke. I was like, okay, King Alfredo, Papa Costa, you know, I'm like, I'm chauffeuring you around. So we had to go to this auto body shop that my cousin worked at, and I watched them stick a screwdriver in between the car door and my front fender and stick it in and, like, wiggle it around. I was mortified. I was like, no, Smurfette, no. And so finally the door opened. So now my next step is to go to the police station. So I get there, and the cop is like, okay, so let's go to the BJ's. I want to look at the tape myself. So we go to the BJ's, whatever. He looks at the tape. He comes back out, and he's like, let's go outside. I want to talk to you. I'm like, okay. So he says to me, we watched the tape, and we didn't see anything happen. And if it did happen, it was with the car blocking. We couldn't see. But I have some other news for you. And I'm like, okay. He goes, I don't think you were hit once. He goes, you were hit twice by two different cars.
Whoa, where the hell were you parked?
I was just parked in the BJ's parking lot. And
a regular parking lot, not a bumper car's parking lot.
No, and I'm like, what? And he's like, it's impossible for you to have this and that from one car. He's like, I believe you were hit by two different cars, and both of them had a hit and run on you. Not one of them left a note. Not one of them stayed. Nothing. Not one of them notified me. And I was like, you have to be kidding me. And so, needless to say,
that's awful. But the odds of two cars in that period, oh my God.
I was like, you have to be kidding me. Like, it's not like, you know, you open your car door and you nick the other car next to it and you're like, oh, you know, no big deal. Like, I'm talking about a gigantic dent that is huge. And then somebody whacked my car, had to have been going 10 miles an hour at least out of the parking lot, which I can't believe on a Saturday at BJ's, if you guys know BJ's. And I'm talking about BJ's Wholesale Club, perverts in the chat room.
Well, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, BJ's is a wholesale club. It's like a Sam's, it's like a Costco.
Okay.
Okay, where you can go to a place, you pay a membership, and you buy in bulk, and you buy, like, you know, stuff like that. So I was just like, oh, I can't even believe it. So needless to say, end of story, I have to go through my insurance, which sucks, so I hope I don't have to, like, get a rate increase, you know. And I'm going to have to bring my car tomorrow to the auto body shop, and Smurfette's going to go into a pampering appointment for a little bit, and she's going to come back brand spanking new and even better than ever.
Is Smurfette going to the spa?
She's going to the spa. She's got a little Nick and Tuck hair, a little Botox. But I'm just so like, not just one, but two.
Oh, that's right. It's the house guest from season 10 and season 11. The person America loves to hate. Number one in your programs and number two in your hearts. It's the man, the myth, the legend, Jesse Young Guns Godders. And I'm on the Rad Reality Show with Ron Rad.
That must mean my Jesse's on.
Bam!
Hello, Mr. Jesse.
Kaboom! That just happened.
It is Mr. Pectacular is on the line, Manic Mondays. What is going on, Jesse, my two-headed snake friend?
What's going on? Shoot. Spectacular day. I think I need to have like a new intro because Young Guns, I mean, that was like 4 years ago. That's the thing of the past. Now we're, you know, we're moving on up.
Hey, we got archives, you know. We like to reuse things. We like eco-friendly around here.
Off that VHS, too.
So, Jesse, everybody is so excited because we saw your promo out this week. And let me tell you, I had a tear in my eye. I had goosebumps because I'm going to bring you back, Jesse, to 4 years. In that spa room, when you and me used to just talk all day, all night, because we were the only ones that were normal. Anyway, what did we talk about, Jesse? What did we talk about when we were sitting there?
About a kid from Iowa growing up from rags. Nothing coming up with just hard work and dedication, sacrifice, determination. This kid has poise. For God's sakes, he was homespun. He had a dream of time. He was going to California. Babes and waves. That's what he wrote on his yearbook. Dolphins. Oh, every single one of his classmates. And he did. And you know what? When he was out there, he was on fitness magazines. He was on TV a lot. A lot of TV on SBC, on CBS. He was just a mega hit. It was ridiculous. I cannot believe it. And then he talked to Ric Flair. I said Ric Flair in Gold's Gym Venice. That's right.
Woo!
Ric Flair.
Woo!
Woo! And he said, if you really want to do this, you're going to move to Tampa, Florida. And I did. I got on a plane. I didn't get on a bus. I didn't get on a train. I didn't drive. I flew all the way from California. That's right. The land of opportunity to the Sunshine State, people, to Tampa, Florida, to pursue my dream, to do something that not very many people, one, pursue, two, actually do, or three, even believe inside themselves it's even possible. They couldn't even fathom digging down deep into their loins, into their guts, and being like, I can do this. But I, Michelle, and you and me both sat there and talked about it while you were doing my nails, and that was the most damning thing that I could have done at that exact time. But damn it! That dream has become reality. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It has.
Jesse, I feel like you could get two more hats added on. A preacher and a rapper. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
You know,
just to show Jesse that we're not all old clips around here, let me play this one.
Let's play a clip.
Finally, after months of pandemonium, yours truly,
yes.
Spike TV, Impact Wrestling Superstar, two-sport pro athlete, Mr. Pectacular, is about to be gracing me with his presence. I'll be debuting at SWE No Limits February 25th. But that's not all. I, myself, Mr. Pectacular, have actually starred in the last four consecutive years of the hit reality TV show Big Brother on CBS. That makes me a triple threat. A pro bodybuilder, pro wrestler, and TV star? I'm the real man, myth, and legend. Mr. Tech. Don't hate me because you hate me.
I love that last line, Jesse.
I'm crying right now. I don't know about you guys, but I feel it. You know what I'm saying? Just the build up and it's beautiful. It's like poetry in motion when I talk.
Hey Jesse.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Paul from Minnesota. Somebody in the chat room, I didn't realize it, said Ric Flair, his hometown is Edina, Minnesota, which is what I claim my hometown to be. I didn't even realize that. And then in that video, you said, in St. Paul. And I'm thinking, St. Paul, Minnesota? And then you say New York City. I was disappointed.
Oh, it's actually the hall in St. Paul, yeah.
The hall in St. Paul.
Well, Jesse, I will have to say that I've never been into wrestling like a lot of people are, but there's shows that I don't watch a lot of people love watching as well, like The Housewives and Jersey Shore and that type of thing. But I do recognize when somebody works as hard as you do to reach a dream, and just congratulations, heartfelt congratulations to you, and all the best.
Thanks, man. No, it's
been a long time coming, hasn't it?
You know, it's not. It's really not. It's definitely hard. So.
Well, you know, Jesse, how many, like, you have just gone through, like, these motions, and, you know, a lot of people would have given up, you know? A lot of people, you know, I'm sure with one yes, you get so many no's, or you can't do it. You're not this quite like criteria, you know, all this stuff. How did you push through it? How did you say, you know what, with this yes, with this no, I'm going to get a yes. I'm going to keep fighting. How did you keep fighting through it?
The biggest thing, the biggest hurdle for me is I'm not a ginormous giant that's, you know, 7 foot tall or, you know, 6'4", 6'5". So with literally the sport almost being against me, or the actual whole industry, the whole business, there is still niches where you can actually capitalize, such as myself, with having the background that I do, with having the physique. But the biggest thing, to completely address what you're saying, how did I actually persevere and go through anything? A lot of people have contingency plans. A lot of people have fallback plans. And I say this all the time, and I tell people all the time, like, I don't have those. Like, those are for, like, I'm not trying to, like, diminish or, like, cut down or run down anybody for having those, because obviously they're good. But for me, like, I've never had one, because I felt as though if I gave myself that out, I would just give up, and I'd just be
good
like, well,
point.
No, it didn't work out. You know, I tried again. I tried harder the third time. I tried my hardest. You know, this is what I wanted. This is what I tried doing. But by continually not stopping and continually trying and persevering and emailing people and talking to people and trying to make connections and having friends and not burning bridges, I mean, come on. I've been on Big Brother 4 times, people. 4 times. That's the most loved person in the history of the show. Eat their heart out. Like, what? Yes, all the people that are my past cast members, I don't care what you think. I love you. I appreciate your support because you hate me. Listen, it's not rocket science. Have a niche. Look at literally, not to play on words, but look at the situation. Like, you should understand, like, there's a supply, there's a demand. People want
to
see him do stuff that they can't do, and that's why they love to see him. I utterly hate and despise the show because I think it's mindless TV. At least with ours, there's, like, a goal in mind. Theirs is to, like, I think just recently Paulie D broke down or one of them broke down because they can't do what they're doing anymore. They can't take it. They can't party all the time anymore, blah, blah, blah. It's like, what? You're getting paid to do this. Like, that's your life. to just
and a lot of money on top of that. A lot of money, too much money if you ask me, but they're getting paid a lot of money.
But with this, like, there's an actual skill. You know, it's I just get all worked up about it.
All right, Jesse, I remember when you came on Ron's show the last time, and I asked you this, and I'm going to ask it again. You trained for years and years and years to sculpt your body, and what I wondered was, do you now have to lift weights for a different part of your body to compete in the ring, or do you continue to sculpt your body like you did originally?
There's in-ring conditioning that you actually have to do to keep the other person safe and to keep yourself safe, like muscular endurance, where it's a lot more like CrossFit, cross-training type workouts, where it's almost like an MMA, like wrestling, like amateur wrestling type workouts, where it's upper body, lower body, it's high reps. You're going for, you know, 15 to, you know, or like 10 to 15 minutes of constant movement, as opposed to a bodybuilder's regimen or actual workout, where you do a set, you take a break for, you know, a minute, 2 minutes, whatever, you know, that workout actually entails, and then go from there, you know, do another set, have your break, do another set, have your break. But what I've been doing has gotten me here. It's my bread and butter. No matter what I've done throughout life in the last 7 years, I've constantly improved on my physique. My physique is what stood out to take me to, you know, being the youngest natural professional bodybuilder, being Mr. Natural 2008, taking me to California, becoming a sponsored athlete, becoming, you know, one of the spokespersons for an actual legitimate supplement company, and then being a fitness model, cover model, then going on to the TV shows, obviously being somewhat of a, I mean, again, four times on Big Brother. Because, you know, and that, like, the same workout regimen is still being obviously carried out, just due to the fact that that is my bread and butter. That is what's gotten me here. I can't, you know, stray away from something that works. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, that's kind of the reason I asked the question again, because you did create this physique. You know, you said, like you said, there's not that many people your size, perhaps, you know, in wrestling, but your physique
character
is kind of what got you there. So you've got to continue to keep your body sculpted through all this. And I just didn't know if there's a lot of work put in to get your body sculpted the way it is. Now you've got to also add.
You don't have continuously awesome 20-inch arms, boulder shoulders, spectacular pecs, eight-pack abs, and tree trunk legs just for nothing. I mean, you know, it has a lot of knowledge and know-how to back them up. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of. I mean, that's Michelle. She knows how many times I have to eat.
Oh, please. I wouldn't. I'd be like, because I wanted to make my egg sandwiches, you know what I'm saying? Because it was all about the egg sandwiches. And Jesse would have, like I don't even know, like 10 eggs and, like, chicken.
All that protein. He's got to have that protein.
Yeah. I just want to make a comment, too. Something in the chat room that MN Dreamer said, doesn't matter if they love or hate you, as long as they're still talking about you.
Oh,
I thought that was a good statement, because that's absolutely right.
And
go ahead, Terry.
My name is Terry Garcia. I met you in Vegas at the Vegas Bash in 2010. I was with my husband.
Oh, 2010. That was a great year, I remember.
And I didn't know what to expect when I met you. And I have to say, you were one of the sweetest Big Brother people that I met that year. I had a book that I was asking people to sign. And you sat down and wrote so much in my book. And you stopped and asked my husband and I if we were having fun about three times that weekend, and always checked back with us and remembered our names and always checked back to make sure that we were having a good time and we were being taken care of. And I just have to say thank you for being so sweet and so nice and so kind to all your fans, because you certainly proved to me what a good person you are. And I know that the persona that you put on is something that you do as a persona, but your heart is so good, and you are such a sweet guy, and I don't want to blow your persona, but you are a sweetheart. And
see, people are starting to get it. People are starting to get it. Now you see why I spend a lot of time talking with Jesse, because I'll be honest, Jesse would sit there, we would talk about whatever, and then he would just be like, so if you were home, what would we be doing right now, like with your mom? Like, we would talk a lot about my family. And it was like an escape, and I feel like it's the same way with Jesse. When we were, like, just chilling, it was kind of an escape from the game, you know? Mm-hmm. And it helped us get through that, you know? That was our, well, Jesse's first voyage through, you know, as we all know, Jesse was on 4 times, everybody. That's right, disclaimer, four times. And Jesse, how is it that you spell Rachel? Is that with an R?
No, I just wanted to put over the fact that, like, I didn't know who she was. Like, that was the whole point.
Jesse, that was the best moment of
Michelle,
that season. Yes, Paul.
Michelle, it's ironic or whatever that you brought that up, because I actually went and clipped out part of that.
That's awesome. Let's hear it.
Here we go.
Shopping spree with celebrity wrestler Mr. Spectacular. That's the man, the myth, the legend. It's Jesse.
Oh my god.
We have pictures, plates, hair gel, protein powder, books, body wash, more pictures.
Oh god.
All this Mr. Spectacular swag can be yours.
Yay. Oh my god.
We have candles, we have cups over here. Let me sign you some pictures real quick. What's your name again?
My name is Rachel.
How do you spell it?
With an R. Thank you, Mr. Spectacular.
Nice pose. Hold it.
Great clip. Did you like that clip, Jesse?
Yeah. Rachel was so, like, she was such a good sport. It was so funny because, like, I had her holding up all the clothes. And I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll take a picture. Like, keep in mind, she's, like, buried in all of these clothes, like, all the way up to the top of her head, because I had them, like, all the way around her neck and all that. And then, like, I'm like, I took a picture of her. I'm like, okay, now take one of me. And I, like, handed it to her, and she's like, are you kidding me right now? And I just, like, stood there as a very big woman. Oh, God, it was so funny. The way they edited it didn't show, like, the actual sequence of it happening, but it was funny.
Jesse, it was edited beautifully, because when I grabbed the clip, I got to watch it again. It had been a while since I seen it. And how you kept trying to deflect her from watching what was going on in the house was just hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the best moment of that season. I have to say, hands down, it was awesome, Jesse, really.
those guys are so much fun.
Jesse, did you actually bring in all that swag, or did CBS make that? Or, my God, it just never ended. How many?
Yeah, they have their ways of doing things. But I had I own the rights to Mr. Spectacular and the emblem that I have, and then they tried to just, like, duplicate it on a handful of things that they had in the pictures that I had the rights to.
A handful? God, there was about 15 different.
Go big or go home.
That's right.
Jesse, that's awesome. So can you let us know, like, what's going on right now? Like, where are you at with the wrestling? I know you're debuting. Do you have like, what is going on right now with you in wrestling?
Me in wrestling? Well, there's a lot.
All right, tell us.
My contract with TNA Impact actually got extended through the end of the year, and hopefully I'll be debuting probably during the summer. But obviously, I mean, you know as well as I do, I could still do, like, another Big Brother if it arose, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, I just want to throw that out there. But,
Jesse, we have some callers. Do you want to take some callers? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Cool. All right, let's take some callers.
Anne Marie, you're live on the Rad Reality Show.
Hi, guys. You know, Jesse, I was going to mention that. I thought that was the best. You were so cool, and it was the sweetest. And the first time you were on, you had you answered my email to me, and you were just the nicest. I really loved you. And I'm so glad you're getting everything you want.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for all the compliments, obviously. It's just, it's very overwhelming to find, like, to hear, obviously, your guys' thank yous. And it definitely means a lot. So I know that, I know me and you guys get to see the real true me at heart. And I just know that it's a shtick. Just know that it's a persona. And thank you so much. And by all means, I mean, I'm not that hard of a guy to get a hold of and get a, you know, get my ear. And I will definitely go out of my way to make sure that obviously the fans are happy, because without you guys, and that's the biggest thing, like when we do go to these things or when I do get emails, I try to respond in a timely fashion, but obviously everybody still gets busy, but by no means is it any burden. So thank you so much for the compliments. Definitely.
Oh, well, I'm hoping one day I get to see you go and give somebody what they do.
Whoa, Anne Marie's a wrestling fan over there. Do you want table ladders or chairs? Like, what's going on over there?
Yeah, I'd love to see him go at it.
Awesome.
A picture
well,
of him and Ric Flair together.
I know.
Oh,
right?
I love Ric Flair. I'm a diehard wrestling fan, and so, like, me and Jesse talk about it all the time because I'm diehard. So, like, the fact that, you know, he's meeting these just amazing, you know, from the root of it. I mean, wrestling has changed so dramatically, but Ric Flair was, like, one of the main personas back in the day that actually made this sport what it is, and it's amazing. Must have learned so much from him, Jesse.
No, yeah. I mean, exactly like what you said. Obviously, people have become smart to wrestling, and they're just like, oh, that fake stuff. You know, but it's just like the comparison I make is exactly what Paul said when he's just like, you know, some people like watching these shows, whether it's the Jersey Shore or Mob Wives or whether it is Big Brother. Everybody has their own flavor of ice cream. You know what I'm saying? Like, not everybody's is going to be the same. So when it does come down to it, when people even watch movies, people like action, people like horror, people like comedies. So it's the same aspect when it does come into sports entertainment. I mean, for all we know, like, UFC could be fake, and they could be doing the same stuff, and they're really not getting hurt either. But who knows, because we're not the ones actually inside, you know, the cage. They could be working it just as much as we do, you know, but
yeah.
You just think it's legitimate. Who's to say that basketball isn't rigged? How can a team be down 20, 30 points in the first half, and then out of nowhere they come back storming and they score 30 points in the fourth, you know, quarter, and they end up winning the basketball game? You know, it's sort of like the same with football, same with any sports thing. So there's a lot of creative liberty, and there's a lot of gray areas, I think. But to each their own, everybody has their own form of entertainment. Wrestling has come a long way from people literally rioting when, you know, the bad guys, you know, got on top and got over on the good guys and they stole a win or they hit him with a belt or they sucker punched him or they low blowed him. You know, people really don't react almost the same way kids do because they're not as smart to it as the adults are, if that makes any rational sense whatsoever. Because they just see like a low blow or they see like somebody cheated and they take it for face value and they kind of get caught up in the moment. And sometimes that's what other people do as well as wrestling fans. They do lose themselves and they do get lost in the moment and that's what they like, you know. Or like if they are a good wrestler such as, you know, Bubba, like is one of the best wrestlers that I watch even now, and he used to be a trainer of mine. He makes it so legitimate, you know, you actually want to hate him, you know, and there's a lot of analogies I can give you, you know. Wrestling today is like if you saw somebody get beat up in the street, like you really wouldn't care unless it was your friend. Now, imagine it not be your friend and imagine it being yourself or a family member. You know, one of the analogies the wrestling trainers give these days is like you saw a burning car in the parking lot. You'd be like, oh, man, that sucks for that person, you know. Now, if it was your car, you'd run up to the car, try finding the guy that actually did it, and you'd now be, you know, the baby face, the good guy, trying to find the bad guy that did that, you know, and then find him, get your hands on him, and beat him up. Well, imagine if, you know, unfortunately enough, like,
your family and dog was inside your burning car that was yours. Now you really want to find that guy who did it. That's how much hate you actually have to have the fans actually emotionally invested in you as a character to get beat up. Like, that's, you know, the old school way, the old school mentality, old school psychology behind wrestling. And that's what they used to do, play on the heartstrings of all the fans. And that's why they kept coming and kept selling out all the venues that they had, or, you know, Madison Square Garden, or, you know, wherever.
Jesse,
did you ever get up to Minneapolis at all when you lived in Iowa to watch any of them live? Or
when I was living in California, I did. I went to the Staples Center, but not when I was in Iowa.
Jesse, I just want to answer two questions, and then I'll let the other callers get you. Since you've become really an item on Big Brother, would you do it again, hopefully? And do you keep up with any of the other people, your friends, from the Big Brother shows?
I would 100% love another opportunity, because as far as I'm concerned, third time's a charm, and maybe they'll do something to equal the playing field. And I'll be able to have a running shot at it. I think I actually have a really good strategy. Nothing ever even changed from the first year to the second year that I played it. But that's the way the cards fell. I would love, just like I'm sure anybody would love to have another chance at a 1 in 13 chance at $500,000. I mean, that.
Or even just popping up, Jesse, would you do that too?
What's
because
that?
Because I think people look forward now to seeing you make an appearance.
Would you, Jesse, Anne-Marie is wondering if you'd make another cameo in Pandora's Box, or are you done with doing that?
Oh, no, of course not. I mean, those are so much fun, and I'm doing of the opportunity. Like, you know, I love the exposure that everybody, you know, Rich Mahean and Allison Grotner and Chris – and Chris Roach and all those guys and Julie Chen and everybody that gives me, they don't need me. They have a mega hit reality primetime television show. You know, Big Brother. It's been on for seasons. You know what I mean? They don't need me. I need them. So that's why I'm so grateful. So I just want to, like, clear the air on that. And I think a lot of people, you know, start to get a little bit of skewed perception on who really needs who in the real scheme of things, but yeah, it's a huge.
And what about her second question?
To do that.
Do you see any Russell? Do you see any of the other people?
I don't see any of them, but just because they're all in their respective fields, and I think everybody that hasn't really won is going back to, you know, normal everyday life or trying to get their lives back on track and whatnot. It's a wave. You can only ride it so far, and as soon as it hits the shore, you need to know to get off the board and walk it in and call it a night. But
I
think a lot of people
are
still trying to ride that wave, and or they pack up and move to California thinking that they're going to find another wave or something like that. No offense to anybody that did that. I mean, wish you the best. I mean, a handful of them have succeeded, but I know a handful of them are still just sitting on that board and paddling.
Well, I wish you best of luck, and I hope you get what you want.
Awesome. Thank you
so much.
Thank
you,
Anne-Marie.
Have a spectacular night. Have a spectacular night.
You too.
Hey, Anne-Marie. Yes? Anne-Marie, do you want to keep listening on the phone, or are you going to hang up?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
All righty. So do we have another caller? Thank you so much, Anne-Marie. You rock as usual. Go Boston.
Before I bring you up, I just wanted to tell Jesse that back on the subject of you talking about the old school way of them getting the people riled up, that was the only time I heard my grandmother cuss was for wrestling. She would go to church on Sunday. She would come home and bring a kitchen chair and set it in front of the TV for wrestling, and she would say, "Hit him, you son of a bitch," and she would actually cuss on Sundays for wrestling, and then the rest of the week you'd never hear a cuss word come out of that woman's mouth except for wrestling on Sunday mornings after church. And she would cuss at the TV and sit there and jump up and down and holler at wrestling. I mean, she was a wrestling fanatic.
Oh,
and
you know, that sounds like the same reaction I used to get when I was on Big Brother. That all sounds identical. That sounds identical.
I'm going to bring one of your big fans up. Here we go. Mr. Chi-Town Joe, you're on the air with Jesse.
Hey, Jesse, how you doing?
Oh, not too bad, man. What's going on?
Oh, big fan, man. Especially I've been following you since you've been running around and going and driving up to Canada and doing those shows. And I'm Facebook friends with Marcus and your boss. Oh, okay. Christian, if we, yeah, you ever can get him out of the horseshoe in Hammond. But
right.
I'm so happy for you. You know, I keep on writing TNA. When is he coming on? When is he coming back on the show, you know?
Right.
And they finally got tired of me.
Oh.
So they sent me to Ohio Valley, because you haven't mentioned that yet, but Ohio Valley. Are you still the part of the tag team champ?
Yeah.
Or?
I was going to say, yeah, we did win, like, within a month of me being at Ohio Valley Wrestling Television, I became the OPW Southern Tag Team Champion with
that
one
half.
That's
awesome.
The other half was Marcus. Yeah, my tag team partner, Marcus Anthony. So, yeah, it was it's such a fun. Those guys there, I'm applying everything that I've learned the last year when I was at Team 3D with Bubba and Devon, that's for sure. Like, I get hands-on experience. Like, it was more like that was a technical school or trade school, and now I'm actually getting the experience and applying everything as of right now. And all the ideas and all the thoughts and all the notes that I have, I constantly go over now that I'm up here, as well as the ideas that they have and other, like, tapes to go through and notes to actually follow along with. As of right now, I am no longer, like, we somehow got hosed. I don't know how, but we lost. It might have been Marcus did a 450 off the top rope.
I saw
and I
that.
In
I saw
head.
The pictures.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. I mean, he's a 260-pound man, and he straight did a 450 off the top rope. But, yes, we are no longer that. But Danny Davis and Al Snow and Bill Clark used to be there. But, It's such a great facility. I'm having the time of my life right now. So
yeah,
awesome.
Al Snow is a great instructor, too. A lot of people forget about him, you know?
Yeah, yeah, and he plays a role with Impact Wrestling today still. So,
oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's usually an agent for some of the matches.
It's a shame that we can't get you guys here in Chicago, you know, but we can watch you on YouTube, you know?
Yeah, and online.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just a shame we can't get, since Christian's always in Indiana, it's not too far from Chicago to do a pay-per-view or do something, you know?
Right. No, yeah, it'd be one of the ideas that you might have to talk with either Danny Davis or Christian or Frank Miller, too.
Yeah.
I know that he runs usually, like, the tours and stuff, but Al Snow might be the one that could make something like that happen per request. I don't have any pullers.
Yeah.
You know, Jesse,
you're coming across.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to say something. You know, Jesse, you can just hear it in your voice, like, how excited and happy you are. It's just, like, it's contagious, you know? I keep saying this, but I am so proud of you. I'm so happy that you're doing something that you love, you know? A lot of people don't get the opportunity to do that, or they think, I can't do that. I'm just, you know, a regular guy, whatever, from, you know, a little town. And people listening to you, Jesse, know that. They have that opportunity, you know, that just put that effort in. I'm sorry to cut you off, my Chi-Town Joe. But, I mean, I think everybody agrees with me. It's in your voice, Jesse. And it's so good to hear, you know?
It is.
He's really busted his ass, I hate to say that, but for a long time to get to where he is now.
I know.
I think, and I don't, everybody that used to always go against you, I always stuck up for you and Big Brother, you know?
Hey,
but
man.
Yeah, but you know how it is, you know.
I was going to say, it's an uphill battle that, you know, it's like one against many. You can't go against City Hall. Sometimes you just got to go with the flow.
That's true. And you know, I see a little bit of Paul Orndorff in you.
There you go.
Yes. Absolutely. Nice. I totally agree with you on that.
Don't you see that, Michelle? I mean, the way he...
Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, kissing the forearms, hell yeah.
All the time. Yeah. He just had that funny thing when he got hit, and he would act drunk and fall over, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But, Jesse, I mean, with Marcus, and you're saying rightly, he's such a huge guy, and a lot of the guys in Ohio Valley are huge, you know?
And
for you to constantly beat these guys and do it cleanly and do it right, and you know, you are blessed by, you work so damn hard that, you know, you are going to go, and you are going to get that success. It doesn't matter how tall or how big you are or whatever. You have it, what is called it, you know, in the wrestling world.
Good,
you know?
Point.
The it factor.
It is the it factor.
Yes.
And while I got you on, if you have time at the end of November, come out to Toys for Tots with Michelle and everybody.
Yes.
And, that would be fun. The fans would love to see you in New England.
Yeah, that would be definitely fun.
Jesse's a big New England fan, aren't you, Jesse?
Listen, let's not talk about Sunday. We'll get off.
Hey, I said, I was like, I know that Jesse's going to give me a dig because I already know. I already know, Jesse.
I didn't bring it up.
You were going to, weren't you?
No, I wasn't. I thought we were just going to talk about me, which I was completely fine with.
Oh, Jesse, I know you were going to give me some sort of dig because that's all. I told everybody, the one time we didn't get along in the house is when we started talking about football.
Yeah, 100%.
And you used to be like, well, the Patriots, fuck them.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, yeah, so what do you guys have in Iowa? And you used to be like, we don't have a team, but you guys have one team for all of New England. I said, yeah, so what? New England's freaking smaller than Iowa all put together. What's your point?
It's five states that claims one football team.
And we're still smaller than Iowa. So what do you have to say? this is something we did every single day. So this is, we could actually keep going with this. But, Jesse, you know, babe, you know what the outcome's going to be. Come on now.
That the Giants are going to win just like 4 years ago. You're right. Good job, Michelle. Good job.
You know, you're gonna bite your words. I'm telling you. Whatever. Let's go back to talking about Jesse.
Giants serve up one of like New England's actual losses this year. I think.
Listen. You're like Wes Welker. Okay. They used to tell Wes Welker that he could not play football because he was too short. He was too small. He could not do it.
Compared me to one of those losers.
I'm gonna compare you to Wes Welker. Don't even.
No. Do not bite your tongue.
Oh my gosh, Joe, do you have any more questions for Jesse? Because I know you love, I love Jesse. So
yeah, I know. I would rather let other people come on and talk because any time you can go to my Facebook at Jesse and see, you know, I put your pictures up and you know, everybody else's and I hoot and holler for you. So
awesome. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, hey. Hopefully you can come to Toys or Tots and help us up there.
Yeah. No, if it works out, I have no problem doing it. Not a problem at all.
Okay.
All right. We'll put Jesse in a Patriots jersey and welcome him with open arms. Oh, yeah.
That would be great.
You don't know? That's like, you know how you get laid in Hawaii, you know? You get Patriots jerseyed. Yeah.
Michelle could be your manager.
Yeah, well, that's one of the criteria, Jesse. So, you know, it's for the kids, as we say the entire weekend. It's for
all
the
right.
kids.
I'll hold my breath, and as soon as I start turning blue, I would take it off.
All right, I'll talk to you later, Jesse. Let Michelle go on. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you
so much. Terry, do we have any more callers for Mr. Puck-tacular?
That is Puck-tacular. That is correct.
Area code 347-237-5506 and push the 1. Hey, Jesse, how long has it been since you've been back to Iowa, and how are your family reacting to all the good news?
Good question.
I was actually back home for Christmas, and the time before that, my little brand-new niece's baptism in July. But my mom loves the fact that I'm doing what I want, hates the fact that I'm still a bad guy, and she hates my manager, Kristen Muscagni. So she's like, oh, you're not so bad, but I really hate that Kristen Muscagni guy. I'm like, Mom, it's all because that's what I'm told to do. Yeah, but, you know, you should probably be a good guy. Nobody likes you. I'm like, thanks, Mom. I appreciate it.
tell her to listen to the podcast.
She would eat it up with a spoon if she heard, like, the actual comments of everybody being like, oh, thank you so much. Like,
good
I know that. You're proud, Mom.
Everybody on here loves you, so you'll have to have her come on and listen to the podcast and listen to how much everybody on this show adores you, and
that'll
keep her going for a while.
Jesse, how sucky was it that we had a brown Christmas? So I assume it was the same in Iowa. I mean, it just wasn't right this year.
Yeah, actually, you're spot on with that. That was...
Mm-hmm.
Weird. I couldn't believe it. I mean, we were standing. It was still a little cold. We took some pictures out in front of the house as a family and stuff, and there was just no snow in sight hardly. And I was just like,
I was down in Fairmont on the border there in Iowa, Fairmont, Minnesota, and it was like in the low 40s, and it just was like, just didn't feel right.
I think that's like that around all of, certain areas that get snow. We didn't really have a lot of snow at all here. We just had our first, like, snowstorm the other day, and it's been 50s over here. It's been crazy, right?
Yeah.
It has been all over.
Well, Jesse, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on and keeping us updated, because you know what? We love to follow you. We love to know what's going on next, because with you, you never know. You're just all over the road, and you're doing things, and you're successful, and we just are so proud of you here. Is there anything that you have to say? Because I'll tell you one thing. Ron, you know, unfortunately he passed away, but he is so happy right now looking down at us that you're on the show, because he adored you. And so I just personally want to thank you so much for coming on. I know Cherry and Paul and everybody listening are really happy that you came on and let us know what's going on. So do you have any last words that you want to leave the Manic Monday show with?
Well, thank you so much for having me on here. I greatly appreciate it. I would like to say that I really appreciate, obviously, Dixie Carter giving me a chance, because, I mean, she is the real person behind it all, and she did take the chance on me. Obviously, Dixie Carter is the president of Impact Wrestling, Bruce Pritchard, Bill Clark, Bob Ryder, and Jules Wortman, all from TNA Impact Wrestling, because they're all the ones that are actually giving me this chance, giving me a chance to obviously pursue this, let you guys see it, have it. It's just, it's because of them. Those are the people that are behind the scenes that are the ones that I can point the finger at. They're the reasons why everything's actually coming together, you know? So, granted, me being the youngest two-sport pro athlete helps, you know, that sort of thing, but it's obviously the people behind the scenes that are making everything happen. There's a handful of other appearances. I will actually be at the Arnold, which is the Arnold Classic in Columbus, Ohio, that's held every year. That's March 1st, I believe, through the 4th, yeah. So March 1st is a Thursday, and then Sunday is the 4th. So if anybody's going to that, I will be there at the Generate booth. the Mr. Spectacular Arm and Chest Workout, huge hit, surpassed like 60,000 copies sold mark. Thank you very much. That is at www.mrpdc-taculardvd.com. So other than that, I mean, just chugging away the FWE appearance that I'm having that you obviously saw the promo for.
Is absolutely.
February 25th for Family Wrestling Entertainment. And actually, my opponent's going to be Jay Santana, I found out, so look out. I'll probably spectacular press him. I mean, I lift grown men over my head for a job. How awesome is that?
Couldn't get any better than that.
I mean, that's impressive.
And you don't get arrested at the end, so it just works out good.
What's that?
You don't get arrested at the end, you know?
I know, and then I get to throw them on their face. It's the funniest thing ever. I'm like, what?
Well, Jesse, we just want to let you know that you can come on anytime and keep us updated. You know, we want to know. We have people that listen throughout the United States and outside the country. So if you make any appearances anywhere, because I feel like you will be worldwide, absolutely. Please let us know. Come back on here.
India. I have fans in Germany. I actually have a photographer from Canada telling me about the fans I have in Germany. It's crazy.
Whoa.
Hey? I'm spectacular worldwide. That's my next it's already out there. It's already out there.
Mr. Spectacular has been brought in, people. It has been brought in. All right? So
it's wonderful to hear someone's dream come true like this, Jesse. It really is awesome to hear how excited you are and to really see someone go from where you were in the Big Brother house, season 10, to how hard you've worked throughout these years and to now see your dream actually coming true. It is really a lot of fun and exciting for us as fans to see it all come true. It's really cool.
Absolutely. And just to let you know, Jesse, all our chatters are saying congrats and to you as well.
Awesome.
Everyone is so happy for you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jesse, for coming on. And, you know, good luck. And as as MN Dreamer says, shoot for the moon.
Yes. And
shoot for the moon.
Don't hate me because you ain't me.
Oh, we love you because we love you. So the best for you, Jesse, and continued success. And thanks again for coming on Manic Mondays and taking out, you know, some time, because I know you're busy, to share, you know, everything that's going on with you. So, you know, I love you. You're my boy, and you always will be.
Right.
And I was blessed to have had you on my side and continuously. And you could always count on me to be your cheerleader. So,
I just want everybody to know that I was the guy staying up till 5-6 o'clock in the morning making sure little Michelle Costa played the game right. I don't know if everybody knows that. That was this guy.
hell yeah, we know. You kept me up late.
Well, there you go.
Oops, I was always the last one to go to bed, so he stayed up past his bedtime. That's why he needed all those naps.
Yeah, I mean, but come on, people. I mean, see, Michelle can talk to me after all that, but will she be able to talk to me after the Giants beat the New England Patriots? So we'll see in a week, I mean, if I get back invited onto your guys' show. I mean, I'm just saying. I want to, just think of it that way. I mean, I just
let's put it this way. I guess I'll be talking to you.
I don't know, Michelle. I'm sorry. I'm sorry in advance.
Okay, well, you know, we should maybe make a little wager on it or something.
Yeah, I'll flip you for it. Heads I win, tails I win.
All right. Well, you know, your surfboard just crashed onto shore. So,
no,
we will see. We will see. It
Michelle,
will be.
That's where you're wrong. I'm on the jet ski. I'm on the jet ski out there and just like circling around. Everybody's like, hey, when's Jesse going to come in? I have a headlight and a jet ski.
Okay.
And there's a big boat with petrol following me around, so I'm straight.
Well, there'll probably be a like Be careful for the shark in the Patriots jersey.
All right. Well.
I really see. I knew that this was going to just happen. But anyway, thank you so much again, Jesse. We're going to be talking Mob Wives. If you'd like to stay on and
okay.
talk about Mob Wives, you feel, you know, you can, but I'm sure you're a busy guy. You need to go flip somebody over or maybe, you know, do
Michelle,
a leg lock.
I need to eat.
Oh, that's right. And nap, probably. Eat nap.
No, I've got to go eat, and I got to go make sure I still look ridiculously good-looking in the mirror, so hold on.
Yeah,
I feel like right now you're flexing your pectoral muscles, and you're kissing your forearm right now.
Yeah, I'm actually working my left eyebrow. I'm just exercising.
Jesse, before you go, can you please do your send-off sound?
All right, Michelle, you gotta respond with your sound effect.
All right.
Nailed it. Still got it.
We both got on the soup for each of those noises, so amen for us. Just hey, Jesse, add that to your promo. Big Brother 4 times. Soup multiple weeks in a row. And wait, the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson.
Yeah, exactly. And there's how much time do you have? I'm just going to cut a promo, and then as I'm cutting the promo, it's just going to go on my website and just list the accolades in the background, just scrolling like credits, and just like it'll be like 3 minutes long, and I'll still be going, and it'll still be like 2008, and then I'll like be like at 15 minutes, and it'll be at like 2011, and then it'll be like 2012, and then it'll finally be over at like 25 minutes.
Gosh, it's gonna be a long promo.
Yeah, I know. I'll just probably just talk about myself. It'll be long-winded.
Oh yeah, probably.
All right. We're rambling. We can't do that. You gotta leave the fans wanting more. So you just gotta
That's
be like,
right, Jesse.
And then we'll be back next week.
Thank you so much, Jesse. We love you and congrats again. And let the curtain open and let you debut.
Perfect. Peace out.
Right.
Thank you, everybody. You're the best.
Thank you,
Jesse.
Sure.
Hey, Michelle Costa, we've got a lot of people picking up on the fact that you're seeing the chat room, but you're not logged in, right?
I'm spying.
Okay, so people, if you want to give your shout-outs and say hi to Michelle in the chat room, she's reading it.
Oh, yeah, I'm reading it, guys. I'm spying on you. Big Brother's always watching, remember that. I just want to say, you guys, Jesse's just awesome, and I'm just so glad that he came on. And his intro, I mean, seriously, could it get any better than that?
So, he did mention when he was talking about different shows that people like, he mentioned Mob Wives. Do you know, having talked with him on the phone, does he watch that show?
You know, when we do chat, we don't chat about, you know.
Okay.
I mainly talk about like what's been going on with him and what's been going on with me. So, I'm sure he dabbles in a few things when he has time. I could just see him, you know, really digging the Mob Wives.
Yeah. Before we talk about Mob Wives, I've got a question for you because on Thursday we found out. We tried to get a lot of people hooked on a brand new show, which is turning into one of everybody's favorites, and it was one that Dina suggested to you. Did you watch My Big Redneck Vacation?
You know, I didn't because I had that crazy week that I normally have 3 days off, and I had no days off this week. So, you know, I have not, and I will go to my DVR, to my on-demand, and I will watch it. And I'll be able to catch up because I'll be able to watch whatever has been aired. But no, did you guys want to talk about it? Go ahead.
No, I just
No, we're going to talk mob-wise, but I just didn't know. I haven't talked to you since Dina brought that up, and we talked a lot about it on Thursday, and it's just a great, great show. So,
Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to watch it. You know me. I'm going to have to. I've been a little off my game. I'm trying to get, a schedule. When you go back from having a flexible schedule to having a kind of like a 50-60 hour week work schedule, you just got to kind of get used to it. And then once things get settled, I'll be able to schedule what I'm doing. So, you know, I've been busy and stuff, but I always have time for great shows. So I will definitely. And Dina, yeah, she did talk about that right Monday. Now. I know, Cherry. There's tons of them right now. It's like, you know, I don't know. It's like crack. I'm like, I'm like drooling and sniffling and stuff. And speaking of crack, holy flipping Mob Wives.
Let's play the theme to launch into Mob Wives.
Oh my gosh, go do it. Here because that song is like the best song ever. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You know what we have
amen.
To do because we're getting we gotta do
the clip. Come on, let's do it.
The views expressed by guests and callers into the Rad Reality Show are not necessarily the views of the host or the sponsors of the Rad Reality Show and are for entertainment purposes only. Some assembly may be required and batteries are not included.
We got to knock that out right out of the gate.
You know what? We should have done that disclaimer before, like, the top of the show, okay? we got a lot to talk about. Number one is, how many times did I swear today? I swore a lot. I'm kind of like Drita.
The swear jar. The Mob Wives swear jar.
Yeah, did you guys happen to see the after show of Mob Wives?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about, where, you know, with who we love that we didn't get to see, Big Ange, she was on, and Drita was on, and Renee was on, and they had to think who swore the most, and they picked Renee, and Drita was like, I don't know, like 20-something, she's like, fuck this, fuck that, fuck the missions, fuck that raccoon, fuck the raccoon, and fuck my garbage, fuck DJ Flip-Flop, fuck this, fuck that, fucking hoe, fucking bitch. I was like, I think, I didn't realize this, but I might be cheating on Bronxy, because Drita was like, whoa. Anyway, were you thinking, Cherry? What were your thoughts on the show?
Well, I love the show. I love the after show. I think that's going to be hot, because
yes,
people are able to call in and ask questions and put them on the spot. They're going to have to answer them right then and there on the spot.
Hey, Gary, were you looking for the Twitter names in hopes that we'd recognize one? I was.
Yeah, I would just love to hear one of our people call in with a question. I was so hoping that I would hear Michelle from the Bronx.
Yeah, but you know what it was? It was probably like rated R or some kind of question that was like put into their contract that they would not answer or something like that. Because our people who are sending Twitters are asking hardcore questions. I definitely know that. Or rated R questions. You know,
I was hoping maybe you or Bronxy would have a question for them, and I'd hear your names over the air, and I'd be going, yes, they got through.
Oh, I'm liking the fact that they're doing that. I'm wishing they did that a while back. But I am they, you know, I'm sure there's some things they can't talk about. Like, for, well, it wasn't really talked about yesterday, but Cherry, let's talk about Big Ange for a minute. And, you know, it, you guys call in 347-237-5506. Make sure you're the press of Awana, because if you don't, we don't know her, okay? But
well, there's a story on Big Ange.
Okay.
She was once a cocaine dealer who was indicted and convicted for selling cocaine in New York 9 years ago. The Smoking Gun reports that she was one of 15 defendants indicted and later convicted for their roles in the narcotics operation, which distributed crack cocaine, powdered cocaine, and marijuana in Brooklyn and Manhattan, adding that federal agents described her as an associate of the drug ring's leader. Indictment records published by the Smoking Gun show that, as the site reports, in bugged telephone calls, Big Ange was overheard complaining about the inferior quality of cocaine provided to her by the drug ring's leader. And note, she was indicted in May in 2001 on 6 felony counts. Along with a conspiracy to distribute charge, she was hit with 5 counts related to separate cocaine sales she made to a CI. At the time of her arrest, she had in her handbag 14 small plastic bags containing cocaine. The site says she pled guilty to the indictment, to the indictment's top count in 2003, and in October, she was sentenced to 3 years probation and ordered to spend 4 months under home confinement, although that was later modified to include drug treatment.
Well, I'm just saying, I can understand where Angela's coming from, because if the quality's not good, you know, I'd be pissed off fucking too. You know?
Well,
no, I'm just
gotta have good quality, I guess.
You gotta have good quality. Come on.
Who's going to put your neck on the line out there for some shit, you know?
You know what I'm saying? She's not going to be dealing with some crappy stuff. She wants a good shit.
She's Big Ange.
Yeah. You know? She has the best of the best. Don't give her some shit. Like, what the heck?
That's right. Let's bring Miss Dina up. Miss Dina.
Well, good evening. How are you?
Hey, Miss Dina. What's going on, girl?
What's going on? Well, my question is, with Big Ange and the cocaine deal is how in the world is she going to do any cocaine with those double Fs she's got? She has to have a big straw.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, well, you know, maybe she puts them on her lips and then she just uses that as, like, the area of snortness. I really don't know how it works, but
maybe that's her table.
That's her hideout. That's her hideout spot.
It's covered. I'll tell you what, last night's show was, at the very least, we thought the fights were something else, but last night's show with Renee coming out with all these questions and wanting to play mediator with both groups of the ladies, and I think she called out last night, and I think, especially on the after show, it's pretty much clear where she stands on Drita's side more so than on Karen and Ramona's. And I thought it was ironic that Ramona just spit it off that, you know, Drita was the cancer, when in reality last night's show was nothing but Ramona running off at the mouth and stirring up all this shit. So
that they were constantly, like, out to dinner or out to lunch? I was like, shit, these fucking people eat a lot, you know? Like, what the fuck? I was like, they're fucking always eating. Like, the whole show was like a different dinner party. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah,
they always
have to eat when...
I'm like,
how do they stay that thin? How do they stay that?
It's the cocaine. The cocaine. That's why I'm like, wait a minute. How do they eat this much? Doesn't that suppress it? Like, doesn't that make you not want to eat? I don't know. That's why it was bad shit. Andrew's pissed. No, but I was just like, shit. I was like, I felt like I was watching Millionaire like Matchmaker. You know, it's like 20-minute like speed dating. Like, what the heck was going on? But I want to say that I totally agree with you, Dina. Like, what was up with that? Like, Renee, out of all people, not the person I think that should be helping out situations. People should be, like, taking her out to eat, like, hey, girl, how's it going? And instead she's like, so what's going on with so-and-so? I mean, I think it was not her place, and I don't mean her place, but I mean within herself, within what she was going through, what she was feeling, what she was to take on that. But at the same time, I think she took that on so she could forget about her problems, which only made it worse. Because you guys all know, we all not all know, but I don't know if you heard or not, but she actually collapsed, I think, this past week. Michelle from the Bronx sent me the news file link, and she collapsed, and they're saying from, like, a nervous breakdown, you know, because everything's coming back, and, you know, the whole thing with Junior and stuff. So I honestly, I'm going to be honest, I feel bad for her. Like, my heart goes out to her, because I had spoke earlier with Cherry about this, but, you know, she could feel like she brought this all on because, you know, there's two men in her life that she loves, her dad and her boyfriend. And, you know, she brought her boyfriend into this family, and to find out her boyfriend betrayed her by calling out her father, that's gotta be something that's hard to deal with.
Oh my gosh!
And the simple fact
imagine.
That her father got out of jail too. I mean, he's been released, you know, and she doesn't even feel comfortable on going to her father's house because he has made it clear, hey, listen, I don't like what you've done in the past, and you're not welcome right now. The grandson went over there, and he even suggested mom just show up, and she's like, that's not cool. She knows her limits with her family.
Yeah, I was a little taken back by that, because if I hadn't seen my father in that long of time, and I had to question myself whether to go see him, like, you know, that shouldn't you shouldn't have those doubts in your mind. It shouldn't be a thought. Like, I'd be picking his ass up and taking him to, like, the best steakhouse.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? So there's a lot more than, obviously, we know. They're letting us into their lives, but with discretion, I feel. What we're seeing a lot, but we're just seeing, like, the cherry on top. We're not even
right.
Seeing the layers. You know, the whipped cream, the ice cream, the root beer. We're not seeing all that layers. And I don't know. Like, we could probably die if we know. We get killed if we know some of that shit.
Yeah,
so.
We would. Michelle from the Bronx, how are you tonight, girl?
I'm doing good, Cherry. How are you?
I'm good.
Hey.
Last night's show.
Hey, wifey.
What up, wifey? What the fuck? You want to fucking cheat on me? You're on the fucking air? Are you fucking out of your mind? I mean, what about these flipping flapjacks out there in Staten Island? You got somebody better?
Yo, don't get DJ flip-flop on me. Don't get DJ flip-floppy on me. Beep, 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 beep.
Who's having the panic attack?
Oh, my gosh, Michelle. I know me, Cherry, Paul, Dina, all my people in the chat room and everybody that's on podcast, that's going to be listening to podcast, wants to know, what does Michelle from the Bronx got to say about this past episode of Mob Wives?
I thought it was, like, kind of boring. I didn't
Michelle.
Like... Michelle. Hiya, Paul.
Hey, hi. No, I am kind of with you, but don't you feel like, really, it set us up for next week? I mean...
I do.
Yes, and I think that this particular episode was patched together. This is what I think is because of what's happening in the real world, real time right now, is that maybe some of the content needed to be edited out, so they had to put a few other strands of things together to make things work. And I just... As I'm watching conversations go, you talked about them going out to dinner. I said the same thing. Like, these people are forever fucking going out. Like, they're eating here, they're eating there. This one, this one's that one, this one's that.
Thank you. I thought it was me. I was like, what the frig? I'm speed dating over here.
All right. Now, that in itself, that was a lot of patchwork to put together because nobody and I don't care who you are not going out to lunch and then going out to dinner and then going out to lunch the next day to meet somebody and then going out to dinner and having a sit-down with a bunch of another group. If you are a major socialite as opposed to a mom and a wife. You know, and maybe you might be just doing it for the show, but that was a lot of going out. Now, I also, all right, Big Ange, the Coke thing, Cherry, thanks for, I didn't know about that. I didn't bother reading her past, but I'm better off not knowing that. And I'm just going to say two words, the 80s. And leave it at that as far as Big Ange's conviction or her plea downs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, can I say something, Bronx? I'm going to say, okay, I understand your comment on the fact that it wasn't the best Mob Wives, okay?
No.
But you know what? It's been so intense that I think we always want it to level. But I'm going to have to say, for me, there was two moments in that show last night that I'll tell you what, that made the show for me. And I'm going to let you know right now. We're gonna discuss it right now. All right. Comment number one. I loved Rita. Rita, I love her. She's like a raccoon.
She's
always
in
up in my garbage.
Always in my garbage.
She's like a raccoon up in my fucking garbage.
That bitch just doesn't go away.
Okay? Okay, the fake.
Drita had some great edits. It was pretty good for Drita last night. That's
Can I get a hell's yeah, because I think it was the best line of the fight.
No matter what, I like a woman that can fight. So fight on the floor, fight with your words, you know, get somebody's back, you know, just fight. Don't give up. So I love it.
Yeah.
Second one
was when her and Drita and Renee were talking about things, and then Drita's like, she was like DJ Flip Flop. She was flipping and flopping. She like DJ Flip Flop. I was like
DJ Flap a lot.
Flap a lot.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm like.
Was Ramona? Yeah.
I was like, oh god, like, the lines, and you know what? That shit ain't scripted, people. That fucking can't be scripted.
It's real. When it's coming off of the hip like that, I was explaining to a friend of mine, like, there are times where you just start jacking stuff out of your mouth, and it's just rapid fire. And afterwards, you're like, damn, where'd I come up with all that crap? But and then while it's going on, it's just like boom, 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 boom. If you're not taking cover, you're getting hit. You're getting splattered with just whatever is coming out. And, yeah, there's going to be casualties. I thought it was hysterical. It is not scripted when they're that angry and that agitated.
I went back and took notes. And Ramona called Drita a crumb snatcher and flip-flop and floozy.
Mm-hmm.
Drita called Ramona, said the raccoon comment, that Ramona is like a raccoon. She's always in my fucking garbage. The bitch just doesn't go away, and called her DJ Flap-a-Lot. And then Renee said, I'll be honest with you. I think you made me look like I'm not the craziest one in the bunch anymore. Oh, I'm so relieved.
Yeah, that was actually really funny.
I know. I think she was right. You see, she said that to Ramona.
But did you see her face when she was saying that? She was just like, kind of like shocked, like she couldn't believe she wasn't the craziest bitch in the house. Like she was like, wait a minute, what?
Hey, guys, don't you love when the camera cuts to Renee and when she's listening to some of these things and her eyes get big, like, what did I just hear these girls say?
Yeah.
He's got Mr. John Cracker on hold. I'm going to bring him up and see what he has to say about it.
Okay, good.
Mr. John Cracker, how are you, my dear?
I have no idea what you all are talking about.
You don't watch Mob Wives?
I don't.
What?
I know. I'm such a bad guy.
You've got to get with the program.
I was told that I had to watch Once Upon a Time, yes, last night. So I did. And I only made it halfway through because I got a phone call. So, and I never even watched the whole thing of that. So I
Wait, you don't pause? You don't pause when you get a phone call? I pause. You have to pause when you get a phone call.
Well, you know, I wasn't that interested in Once Upon a Time either, so I just shut it off.
Oh. I don't know what that show is.
But
okay.
It's a story time show, kind of, you know, it's, I don't know.
I love, love that show, John.
You like that show?
I do.
I don't know how you follow all these shows. I don't find enough time in the day to follow what I need to follow.
Are you serious? Paul is like Superman. Like, he is everywhere at one. Like, he's all places. He just flies there. He, you know, puts on, you know, his cape, and he's just able to be in more than one place at once. Right, Paul?
Well, I'm sure people will say, except Twitter and Facebook, because I've really been bad at that. I have started watching too many shows that I try to keep up on, and I don't work. I'm retired, John, so I don't have to worry about that part. So.
Oh, well, I want to be retired.
Yeah, don't we all?
Well, even if you stay home, there's so many reality shows right now, you can't keep up with them all. I'm trying, and I can't keep up with them all.
My DVR is like, I can only, like, tape two things an hour, bitch. Like, stop freaking working me hard. I'm not your husband, boyfriend. Don't give me a list. I'm like, damn you, DVR. You screwed me over. I, like, want to tape, like, five things at once, and it gives me a limit. I don't like it.
I know. I have a little DVR and a TiVo, and I still can't record enough.
John
Phillips, you know,
then, what reality shows are you watching, John?
Currently, I am not watching any reality shows. None.
A shock goes throughout Manic Monday Nation. People are crying and passing out all over the world.
My shows aren't on. I watched Survivor. I watched The Amazing Race.
You're not watching Challenges. You're not watching, you know, Couples Coming Back. You're not watching American Idol. You're not watching Bachelor. You're not watching My Big Fat, what is it called? Red Red Wedding. I don't know. You're not watching, Storage Wars. You're not watching, like, Strange Addictions and watching people eat their couch. John, what are you doing with your life? We want to know.
I'm working.
What's going on?
I have a secret lover on the side, so that keeps me busy.
I knew there was something.
Okay. So,
that's a reality. They're a reality show within themselves. I get it. He's living the reality life. Because let me tell you, when I see them play the Newlywed Game, I try to stay out of, like, their perimeter. I might get paper cut by their paper. I could get stabbed by a pen, chairs thrown at me. It gets crazy when they play the Newlywed Game.
Harlan and I were involved in our own little reality show on Saturday night. So, I mean, we could have had a camera, and we would have gotten some incredible good ratings, I'm telling you. I will. We had a party with six people. I'm talking fancy, schmancy, high-end. You need to count your forks from left to right and make sure you're using the right plate and the right glass and all that stuff. And there were six gay men sitting at the table. We're halfway through dinner. Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, we're here. Oh, yeah.
We're halfway through dinner, and the phone rings. Hold on for one moment. Me turning off the TV. The phone rings halfway through, and he has to take the call. And just checking my other phone. All my phones are going to go dead. So he has to take this call, and all of a sudden he becomes frantic. You there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I switched phones. Sorry. So this guy becomes frantic. Our host becomes frantic on the phone, to which five men in the room are at first just like letting him do his call, and then he hangs up and then frantically makes another phone call, then leaves the table into the other room, but you can hear him in panic mode, da 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 da. So we have a banker clothing store owner, a senator, a psychiatrist, and Harlan and I sitting at the table.
Thank gosh you have a psychiatrist.
I know.
Sounds like freaking like a Mob Wives
intro
anyway, so go ahead.
We're like, you want us to leave? He said, no, you guys stay, and this will be over in a few minutes. Well, he hangs up the phone, comes to the table and says, just so you know, we have company coming. And it was this woman who was being beat by her boyfriend, who is the curator of the museum that they're working on, of which she's been working. She's from New York, and she's been working with the banker, working with the senator, and who is the philanthropist for this project, and working for this other museum curator, She doesn't know any of them. So all of a sudden, she ends up in his around all these gay men. And awkward. You could hear the crickets going. We did not know what to say to this woman. It was awkward, awkward, awkward. But that was our Saturday night. Sorry to share it with you.
Wow.
But what happened? Like,
she ended up finding a fake
place. All the gay men protected her.
Okay.
She was sitting there with the banker and the other curators of the museum and it's just like awkward because she did not know these people outside of the work environment before that. And then all of a sudden she's around in a room of all men. And she got put two together and she just felt kind of like out of place. So.
Well, did she invite herself to the party without being invited?
No. He told her to come because she needed a place to go because the place she at wasn't safe. She was being beat by her boyfriend.
Wait, so did she show up with bruises and, like, black eyes? Like,
he said that she didn't have any noticeable bruises on her, but she was visibly shaken. So, shaken, not I don't know. She was very cordial while she was there, but one of the guys, the banker, said that she wasn't herself like she normally is. But we helped her out.
It was nice of them to give her a place of you know, refuge and to welcome her into his home.
Right, but with
the part
that
she knew
about was that she didn't know any of us were all gay men. Awkward. People she had to work every day. They were even nervous about what was going to come of it the following day because they had been working with this woman for.
So did she not know that they were gay? Was that the issue?
She didn't know that they were.
Oh.
So.
Surprise.
Surprise. Exactly. That's
surprise.
What they were all.
Surprise.
Next time something like that happens, John, can you just put up a video camera? Like, how rude. Like,
yeah,
we need visual of this.
She looks over to her left and she goes, oh, you're here. Oh, you're here. And then she knows who everybody is and her life and everything. And then she's kind of embarrassed for herself, but it's just interesting. It's like...
I'm going to send
it's
you one of those little 5 pins.
In life where you want to stay and fight or you want to flee and run. And most of everybody wanted to flee and run at that moment. They just wanted to run and hide. So,
I'm going
to
send you one of those little spy pens that you could just nonchalantly lay on the table and people wouldn't know it was recording and you could just record the entire thing so that you
You know, Big Brother, where I could tell you the exact moment what it felt like. You know when... And everybody's saying happy birthday to Keith Kitchen. And then after the birthday, they played it like crickets were playing. Or something.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I wasn't there.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of... we have no idea what to do or what to say.
Oh, gosh.
Everybody
well,
just
John,
wanted to get
thanks, the hell thanks out. For sharing that. Next time, make sure you put a pen and talk real loud and act like there's not a pen with a camera in it.
But
know.
That's all I have. That's my only reality story for the week. So I'm going to start my own reality.
Thank you so much, John. We love you, having you call in and just telling us about the day in the life of Mr. Junk Raka. We love it. And I hope you didn't miss Jesse being on earlier because you missed a doozy. And if you did, make sure you check out the podcast, all right, John? Because it was great. It was epic. It was Mr. Spectacular Pictacular.
You're amazing.
Yes.
Was he on?
Thanks, John.
He was
on,
yes.
Well, sorry to take up that 20 minutes. But you have to admit, I'm more amazing when you've been crockerfied.
Wow. Swagger Nation
has hit.
Now your
assignment is to watch Mob Wives every
year. Yeah. John, that's your homework. That is your homework because when you come back next week, you need to come back and talk about what your thoughts on Mob Wives without taking a phone call in between.
Every Sunday night.
And let me tell you, John, from what we saw set up in the last episode, this Sunday night one should be a doozy.
Okay.
I'm sure John's going to be watching the Super Bowl first. So make sure you DVR it, John, because as a lovely, handsome man from Maine, I know that you'll be rooting for our good old Patriots. Isn't that right, John?
Who else is who are they? Uh-huh.
No, it doesn't matter, John.
Who the fuck cares, John? The frig. It doesn't matter. We could be playing friggin' Tebow and Jesus. It doesn't matter. Sorry, I love you, Jesus, but this is a Tebow joke. But it doesn't matter.
Right?
It doesn't matter. Yeah, so make sure you guys... It's being played in Indianapolis. We have New England has occupied Indy. And for everybody that's out there listening right now to Manic Mondays, make sure you guys tape Mob Wives because it will be on during the Super Bowl. So make sure you guys do that. Set it now. Well, no, not now. Wait till Manic Mondays is done because we're going to be, you know, finishing the show in a few minutes. So after the show's done, first thing you do is go to the bathroom because maybe you've been sitting there for a while and not need to go because you've been drinking all that wine. Then get another glass of wine. Then set your DVR on Sunday. A very important steps there.
Watch.
1, 2, and 3.
I will come this week.
All right, Mr. John Crocker. Thank you so much. Do you have any parting words that you would like to say to the Manic Monday followers who love Mr. Crocker, who I think we might be voting him for president?
I think he should. Well, I'm looking at Cherry's pictures, and I just wanted to let Cherry know that Joanne put a flattering picture of her up last night.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's on my wall. I was like, if Cherry sees that, she's going to die. But,
oh, no.
Oh.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Crocker. Once again, you have always made a great appearance on Manic Mondays. You're a staple to this Manic Monday Nation with your swagger.
All right, I bored everyone with my story. It was interesting at the moment that it happened. That was my weekend, though, so that's all. I don't watch any. I'm not watching any reality shows, so that was my reality. So I brought you into my world for a few moments.
Well, thank you very much, John.
So
we appreciate that.
Take care, John.
Love you all. Miss you all. And
back.
We'll talk to you soon. And Harlan says hello to everybody.
Hello,
back
Mr. Harlan.
We're going to get
goodbye,
back to
John.
My wife
Thank
real
you
quick.
So much. Yes, let's
Hey,
let's...
I want to know if anybody else was disappointed in the room reveal, Lee's room reveal, when Drita opened that door. I thought we'd see a lot.
Oh, I'm sorry, but that's my fucking house. I'm fucking going in that fucking room. Fucking man fucking room. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, I'm fucking swearing. That's my house.
Yes, Paul, I agree. I was expecting to see a little bit more bling and maybe some flip flop and floozy stuff going on.
I was like thinking there's gonna be like three or four girls in that room or something. They were just gonna be hanging out chilling or something, like
his little tokens of the night. Yeah.
I sure would have gone for a whole lot more of the pockets. She found that one letter. Then if there's one letter, then there's more. And I would not have stopped until all of his clothes had gone through.
But that was a letter to her.
I know, but what I'm saying is she found that in his jacket. And he has to be a huge man. Did you see the size of that jacket? I mean, it just hung on his breast. So, but, you know, I'm sure there's more in the drawers, more underneath the bed, and in between the mattress, so to speak, if they go
to work. Knock on the wall until you hear a hollow spot. Bingo, jackpot, X marks the spot, start chiseling the wall.
Hey, before we run out of time, Carrie, I know you take great notes. Do you have the exact quote of what Ramona had said about Junior?
Yes, I do, actually.
That was a great part. That's what sets up next week, really.
Yeah. Let's see. I'll get to that part. I had gone back and actually written down a lot of this.
Yeah, because you know what? I'll say something. She was right on with the comments. I'm just going to say it. And I like the fact that also when Renee asked Drita if that was true, Drita was like, yeah. And Renee went, you could just see the psycho in her eyes.
Okay.
And she was like, oh, really? I don't care all that. I don't give a crap about. I was like,
I don't fucking care.
Renee heard that Drita told her sister-in-law that Drita said Junior married Renee for her father and that he's nothing but an effing loser without her. Drita's response, 100%. She didn't have nothing nice to say. She said, you know, worse than that. Renee asked, so what do you mean? So I'm asking you now, what did she say about my husband, my ex-husband, my boyfriend, excuse me? Drita, I feel bad. Renee, you feel bad for what? To tell me something? Drita, yeah, because she shakes her head. Renee, do not ever speak about that man. Then it goes into a Renee highlight reel. Drita confirms to me that Ramona said that Junior is nothing without me and he's a loser. Oh, I'm fucking pissed off. And then that's Renee's like highlight reel. Then it cuts back to the table and it's back to Renee. And she says, that's my son's father. And yes, we've been through a lot. And yes, at times he hasn't been good enough for me. But Junior is not a loser. Without me, Junior would be fine without me and another family. Junior loves my family. So for you to sit here and tell me that that's what she said about my son's father, then I have an issue. Drita,
yeah.
If Renee never asked me about, and this is, I think is in a highlight reel too, if Renee never asked me about Ramona, and I think there's supposed to be a what in there, but she didn't actually say it. Renee never asked me about what Ramona said about Junior. I never would have told Renee, but Ramona does this with everybody. So she's surrounding herself with a person like this in her life. That's what you get. Sorry. Then it goes to Carla, and she says, this is why I tell you I didn't care for Ramona. It's because of the things I've heard she said. Now you understand why I felt that way. Renee to Drita, because I was expecting you to say no, you didn't say it. How long ago was this that she said this? Drita, it was when she first came back. Renee, because your eyes are glassed over right now. Now, if I put you in a room with her, would you say it to her face? And Drita pauses. Would I say it to her face? I wouldn't have a problem saying it to her face. I just think there'd be a big problem. Renee, oh, there's going to be a problem. And Drita smiles and says, I'm on your side. And Renee leans forward and says, listen to me. I'll take a beating. I don't give a fuck. Drita, but you're not in front of me. And Renee says, but you don't. But you understand, I don't give a fuck. And that was the end of the scene.
Yeah, that was a good scene. That was a good scene because it's building up for what side they're going to be on and what's going to happen. So we know something major is going to happen next show.
The spa date, and Renee actually invited Drita. You know, I don't know if she's going to show up, but Karen is going to. Oh my goodness!
I think there is going to be a mud fight.
Yeah, I think so. I think that. I thought it was funny that Carla was like, well, is it going to be a mud fight? There's going to be a lot more than a mud fight. I mean, you already heard Ramona. Like, if she shows up, she's in my territory. And if it's game on, it's like, you know. So it's going to be an interesting spa day.
Yeah.
And we will be talking about it next week.
Okay, before we run out
of
time.
Yeah, so but to go on with the Mob Wives, we're going to be doing something for the next 3 weeks. If you guys remember, a few weeks ago we had Ellen on from Reality Totes, and you know, a lot of us modeled these bags. To help raise money for a girl named Carly, who has a disease that makes you become older quickly. And sorry, can you say the name of the disease, Cherry?
Progeria.
Yes. And so we actually got a couple bags donated to us, and what we're going to do is we're going to play some games with you guys. You know, we're going to maybe do like a Mob Wives question, which we're going to actually ask Miss Michelle from the Bronx to be our question asker, if that's okay with her.
I'm in.
And what she's going to do, she doesn't know anything about this, so we're just throwing this right there out at her. What she's going to do is she's going to get something from the show on Sunday, and whatever it's going to be, it's going to be a question of who said this or what did this person say and something about what happened that night. And somebody will be calling in, and they better answer the freaking question right, because if you do, you will get one of the donated bags. And we're going to do it the next week. Well, you know what? It's good. Whoever keeps calling in, it's going to be one-shot deal. So
I don't
call
get
in, be the first one, and if they don't get it right, the next person up is going to answer the question, and so on and so forth. So is that okay with you, Michelle?
That's fine with me. I'm figuring we can do like a, you know, since Drita had a 22 count on the curse level there, I figured if for the first person that called in and they didn't get it, we can kind of see how many they can blurb out.
Yeah, you
okay,
know, whatever
guys.
You want to do, whatever you want to do, Michelle. So we're going to do that. And then for the next following weeks after that, we're going to do something along the lines of maybe a Big Brother history question, or you never know.
I'll take care of the Mob Wives one.
Thank you. And we might just have true or false, or with the Portuguese princess, Moa. And
right.
I also want to talk about Reality Rally. Cherry, do you happen to have a promo clip on that?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that. But I want you guys to listen, $1, $2, $5, $10, whatever you can donate, please go under in my Facebook, go through my status. I'm gonna try to update it so that it's at the top of the page. But go to my link under my name and please donate for Michelle's place. You know, it goes to a great cause for cancer, and the more money that they make, the better. It's going to help a lot of people. And like I said, it's okay if you're doing $1. It's okay. Those dollars count. Think about everybody that listens to our show and donate $1. You know, it could help. Every dollar counts. You're helping another person, multiple people, their families, their friends that are going through this. So please, we will keep you guys updated on that. But please do that. And I have one other thing to say, which I'm going to leave for the end, but do you, Cherry or Paul, have anything to say before I make my last comment?
No, we're at the end, so we got to hurry.
Okay. Well, my only last comment is the Patriots this Sunday will have revenge on Manning and his little Giants. We will overcome this tragedy that we've had to live with for many years. And you know what, New York fans out there listening, I give you guys nothing but props, because let me tell you, if you're going to play to win the best title, you play and you play against the best. So I give you guys dabs for being the best to come against us. And we will discuss next week the Super Bowl. So go,
yeah,
my Patriots. Go. I love you guys. I have your back. And we have heart over here. And our heart tells us you're bringing it home, baby. And when I say hot, I mean hot. Hot. By the harbor. By the harbor. Thank you. I love you guys all.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you all so much for joining us. Join us again on Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central for our Reality Roundtable. We hope you all have a wonderful week. Take care. I'll close the show with Ron, as I always do. Take care.
Love you, Ron.
Be kind to each other.
Smile. It's contagious.
I think the best way to close off the show tonight, though, is to do a song that, you know, I always play. So I'm going to play this song and close off the show. You know, just know that, you know, I thank for everyone that supported me and keep on supporting me and helping me in this journey and everything. So let me play the song.
Back to each other. Take care, everyone. Be kind. Think about Ron. Say your prayers. Take care. Good night, everyone.
Night.